This is the day of resurrection. Let us be illumined, O people. Pascha, Pascha of the Lord. For from death to life and from earth to heaven has Christ come led us as we sing the song of victory.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Welcome to a special edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. And this week we'll hear the stories of two college students who spent their spring break serving on mission trips and will definitely go back again.
I most definitely will be visiting again St. Innocent's Orphanage. I will probably do another mission trip with Mexico, but I think I'm going to go and try other things too in missions.
Okay. Dean?
Yes, I'll definitely go again.
So this would be your fourth trip then?
That was my fifth OCMC trip.
And, oh, my God.
But this one, I was recommended to another thing called Yocama, and it's something with the Native American tribes of Montana and New Mexico, so that might be something I try next.
If you've never participated in a missions outreach, there are many opportunities for all age groups, and we'll hear more in a couple of minutes.
To be honest, our example is the best solution to spread our message to the world.
Our example, who we are and how we live our life. One famous preacher from Canada called it shoe leather faith. St. Francis of Assisi is credited with the thought that we should preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words. His actual words were a bit more nuanced, but that general thought supports the ministry demands of those who bring the Orthodox Christian faith to people who watch and listen in Southeast Asia.
For us, the gospel is to feel something new, not to feel empty, but to feel full of feelings, full of life, full of the meaning and the glory and the joy of the resurrection. And this is the important, and this is the major things that give us the opportunity to smile, even life is unfair for us.
We'll hear a lot more about the challenges and joys of bringing Christ to Southeast Asia a bit later in our program. Again, welcome to Come Receive the Light. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, the founder of the Orthodox Christian Network, on the web at myocn.net, also on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and the president of Hellenic College and Holy Cross Orthodox School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts.
I'm meeting this afternoon with two students who went on mission trips this past spring break here at Hellenic College and Holy Cross. I'd like them to introduce themselves to you, tell you, let's say, their name, their home parish, and where they traveled to, and then we'll talk with them individually. Go ahead.
My name is Stavra Nikita. I'm from St. George in Newport Richey, Florida, and I traveled to Mexico over spring break.
That was at the Project Mexico was the place you went
to? Yes, yes.
Okay. Very good.
My name is Dean Frank. I'm from the parish of St. Constantine and Helen in Palos Hills, Illinois. I traveled to Kenya for the third time, and actually my younger sister works at the orphanage in Mexico, so I have an affiliation there as well.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, I was very impressed because I learned that there were 32 students from Hellenic College and Holy Cross that went on these mission trips, and they were guided by 12 graduates of our school. So that's what, I guess I do the math, 43 of our students actually doing something very special during spring break. So I want to talk about that specifically. Let's go first to Stavra Nikita. Tell us about the objective of your trip. I mean, what was your purpose, your team going there to Project Mexico?
Well, when we left, we went specifically to build a house for Project Mexico. We met up with a family that, you know, they're a little bit poor. It's in Mexico. So we went there. We spent a week building a house. But we also spent a week at St. Innocent's Orphanage in Tijuana.
Mm-hmm. So one of the main purposes was, I want our listeners to understand, to build a house.
Correct, correct.
How big was this house?
Not very big at all. I'd say it was two rooms for a family of six, but the rooms were small. I'd say they were more like closets for us.
And how many people were involved in your team? How many people went?
This year, I think there was about 22 people total. Mm-hmm. All of them except three were from Helena College.
All but three?
Yes.
Wow, that's incredible. All right. Dean, tell us about yours, because you went to Africa, right?
That's
right.
What
was the objective? Where did you go? What were you doing there?
We went to the Turkana state of Kenya. So it's a state just as Massachusetts is to the United States. And our objective was an evangelization trip. And the Turkana, being a state, is also a tribe as well. So these are people that have been very receptive to the Orthodox faith. There's something in the hundreds of parishes there now. His Grace, the newly appointed Bishop of the Western Diocese, Athanasios Akunda, who's a graduate of this school as well. He was here last week to talk to us more about it, but he accompanied us, and we went out into the bush, and we encountered three different villages of the same Turkana tribe. And what we did was kind of to spark their interest in the faith. So we came with a small PA system that was operated by a generator, and we each introduced ourselves and did skits. And the skits were, we did the raising of Lazarus, and we did, you know, a variety of other skits that were all associated with notable stories from the Bible. Not that there's any less notable, but, and based on those skits, we sparked their interest, and we divided into smaller groups, the older men of the tribe, the women of the tribe, the children of the tribe, and we asked them, you know, how they received the message. What, you know, who is this man we call Jesus? You know, because for them that's even an unknown thing.
Did you speak to them through interpreters, obviously, right?
Yes. We, for us, we had the younger group, and we used one interpreter who was actually our driver on the trip, but there's three native Turkana priests on the trip as well, so they were interpreters, and then His Grace, he speaks Swahili because he's from a different tribe, but he was there, you know, so we had a lot of local representation going into these villages.
You used the term, you went out into the bush.
Sure.
So someone's going to say to me, well, the bush, where did they go? Where did they go? What does that mean?
I'm glad you asked. Yeah, it's so it means that from Nairobi, we take a two-hour flight to a smaller town called Ludwar, and then from there, we drive about 6 hours to get to the first village, and this is all straight across the desert. You know, their markers are certain things like the small mountain range in the distance. You know, from that they know that we're heading into
getting
general.
Close.
Yeah.
Gee, that's amazing.
Yeah, and there's lots of different challenges along the way, so okay. It's beautiful. Yeah.
All right, let me go back to Stavro Nikita. When you went to Project Mexico, what was it that surprised you the most when you were there?
There was a few things that surprised me. I think the first thing that surprised me was as soon as you cross from the United States to Mexico, the immediate change you see into poverty was, words can't describe it. Like people would, Father Luke Veronis was explaining to us that it would be a cultural shock, and I thought I understood it, but it's something you don't understand unless you actually see it. Another thing that surprised me was we were going knowing that we were going to spend a week at the orphanage, and we were all discussing how we'd be able to talk to the orphans, get to know them, maybe, you know, help them out. And really what, in the end, I found that they helped me more. They influenced me more than I could have ever influenced them. And I think that was the most beautiful part of the whole trip.
What part of it will you remember the most, do you think?
The orphans, just being able to smile and be happy, and they came with us to the work site of Project Mexico, and they were doing just as much, if not more, work than all of us. And they didn't have to. There was their spring break too. They could have gone and done whatever they wanted. And just the fact that most of these kids went through things that are unimaginable for young kids, the fact that they're able to eat, laugh and smile and go play soccer, it was incredible.
Okay, good. Dean, let's go back to you. What surprised you, and what do you remember the most?
The thing that surprised me the most was, it always surprises me, but it's the simplicity of life of these people and their receptivity to us as foreigners. You know, they're there in the middle of the desert. They have such a simple existence, and out of nowhere come these three, you know, SUVs barreling through the dust full of, you know, what they call Muzungu. It translates to European, you know.
Muzungu.
It means white person.
Yeah.
So, and they see us coming parallel out of the dust, and you know, they're just waiting there, waiting to embrace us, waiting to talk to us,
wow.
You know, look at us and speak to us. And, you know, they're all huddled under the shade of one tree in a dry riverbed, and they're waiting for us, you know, just waiting for us. And And to me, that always strikes me. It's so heartwarming, and it's so beautiful to see people who already have a strong sense of God. You know, it's just a matter of us to come to them and say, you know, this is the faith, you know, that we all believe in. So it's a beautiful thing. And that would be the most surprising and memorable, I guess.
Both together.
It's, you know, it stays in my heart for a long time.
One final question. Would you go again?
I most definitely will be visiting again St. Innocent's Orphanage. I will probably do another mission trip with Mexico, but I think I'm going to go and try other things too in missions.
Okay, very good. Dean?
Yes, I would definitely go again.
So this would be your fourth trip then?
That was my fifth OCMC trip.
Oh, my God.
But this one, I was recommended to another thing called Yocama, and it's something with the Native American tribes of Montana and New Mexico, so that might be something I try next.
Very good. Well, Sabra Nikita and Dean, thank you very much for being on the program today. Thank you for what you have done for others. Clearly, you've understood what is written in the Gospel of John, that we must become less so he may become greater, meaning Christ himself, and we appreciate the fact that you were able to leave the school and take your spring break and make it something very refreshing for your soul. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Father.
What a potentially life-changing outreach, mission trips. For more information about where you might go and serve, check out the opportunities listed on the OCMC website. That's ocmc.org. Just click on the Mission Teams link on the homepage. You'll see opportunities in Albania, Guatemala, Indonesia, Kenya, Mexico, the U.S., and more. We'll also have a link to the OCMC site on our site at myocn.net. We're a nonprofit outreach, by the way. Learn more about us when you go to our website, and if possible, pray for this outreach ministry, which sends these messages around the world, and also become possibly a financial partner. There are a number of ways in which you can do that, and they're all listed on the website on the donate page. That's not the donut page. It's the donate page at myocn.net. Well, Father Chris is standing by again, this time on the phone, with our feature conversation.
Everyone knows there are Orthodox Christians in Russia and Greece and, yes, even in America. But how much do you know about the metropolis of Singapore? We have invited His Eminence Metropolitan Konstantinos of the Orthodox Metropolis of Singapore and South Asia to tell us more about his flock. Welcome, Your Eminence.
Thank you so much for the kind and beautiful invitation and the opportunity that we have to speak.
You were recently in the United States, and I enjoyed our visit on the campus of Helena College Holy Cross. It's a pleasure, obviously, to speak with you again, and now, of course, you're calling us from Singapore. Many of our listeners, Your Eminence, are not aware of the Orthodox presence in Singapore and South Asia, for that matter. Your metropolis, I've learned, covers Singapore as well as India, Pakistan, Malaysia, and Indonesia. How would you describe your metropolis? This is a huge area.
That's true. It's a huge area, and we have to deal with non-Christian countries at all. We have to deal with the fanatism. We have to deal with different languages, different modalities, and we have to deal with different religions. When you say, usually when you say that you are a Christian, for them it's about like to say that I'm your enemy. So we have to deal with people so too, and to try to show them that we are not enemies, that we are there not to change their tradition, but to change their lives spiritually, and to try to put something new in their lives. And this is the new thing, is Christ. And with Christ, we can give hope, we can give smile, we can give love to the other people. This is the important and happy things that we have to offer to all these people.
Now, I'm told you have 32 priests, you have 25 churches, two monasteries, and a theological school. Is that correct?
And also the computer academy and the business administrator academy in Medan, Indonesia. For us, a big bless that we have all these opportunities and we have all these philanthropic educational projects, mm-hmm. because via this project we can provide, yes, our idea, what we are, and what, for which reason we are here in Asia. And is it possible for them to understand when you say that I'm Orthodox? Usually they believe that we are something between Israeli, Hebrew, something like that. It's difficult for them to understand when you say that I'm Orthodox Christian, who we are. Because from the past they know only the Roman Catholics, or we know the Protestants. So for us, we have to try and we have to teach them, to show them who we are.
So you're dealing with non-Christian nations. You're dealing with Hindus, with Buddhists, with Muslims. You're dealing with a whole spectrum. And as you said, of course, fanaticism as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's true. It's not easy these days to have to deal and to say something different than the majority of the people want to believe or want to follow.
Have you or your followers been persecuted in any way? Do you feel that that is the case for you?
Sorry that I have to tell that, but it's a very common, it's a daily problems. We deal with daily problems. That is our routine, this, because very often we have to try to hide our priests. My priests are local, are Pakistani, Indian, Indonesian. So many people, they try, many fanatics go and to try to threaten them or their families, and we have to hide them, or they try to burn or to damage their houses or our churches.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that we have to deal, that if we have faith, we don't have fear. And we have to show that, okay, our faith is more strong than the fear that they can give us.
Okay. And how do you there, I mean, Singapore, you have all these other countries, India, Pakistan, Malaysia, Indonesia, I mean, how do you make Orthodoxy known in those parts of the world? You don't have the ability here. I mean, obviously, you're dealing with different languages, too, in all of this. How do you do that?
Of course.
What happens?
For this reason, our priority is to translate all of the holy books and the sources that we have in the local languages or dialects.
Okay.
Also, with the small communities that we have, we try this kind of communities. To be honest, our example is the best solution to spread our message to the world. Okay. Even to say a lot of words, still words. Our example and our lives will be the important thing for them, to show them that, okay, if I'm happy in my life, if I'm smiling in my life, even life is so unfair with me, but I have the faith that God is above my problems, so this is a solution for them. We have to realize that mostly of the Asian religions, they try just to fill you empty, to feel you that you don't have any feelings. This is the kind of nirvana that they want to show to you. For us, the gospel is to feel something new, not to feel empty, but to feel full of feelings, full of life, full of the meaning and the glory and the joy of the resurrection. And this is the important, and this is the major things that give us the opportunity to smile, even life is unfair for us.
We understand, Your Eminence, that there will be several teams from OCMC, the Orthodox Christian Mission Center, that are going to be coming to your metropolis. Can you tell us what they will be doing when they come to you?
For us, it's a big blessing from God, because from time to time we had some small groups from Greece or from Australia, groups, doctor groups or other students that they want to come and to see what we are doing. And usually we say that, okay, you want to donate $1, $2 for our project, please, if you want, for us it's the same important to come and to see what we are doing here in Asia, because you can see something from the beginning, the church from the beginning, And this is the beauty of our diocese. So for us, it's a blessing that we have this close cooperation with OCMC. And last year we had a group and help us a lot in the theological academy, the theological school that we have in Medan, Indonesia. And also went to our schools and to our parishes around the Medan area in Sumatra, in Indonesia, and teach and help and discuss a lot with the local people. And this year we'll have two groups, one with doctors, that they will go to help us in the Panagia Hospital that we have in Medan area. It's a small hospital with that can care about 50 patients. And also for the theological school that we have, we continue for the last year as advanced program, yes, for these people to help us, our students, and all the people that they want to learn more about Christ and about our faith. For us, a big help, and we believe and we want to continue this kind of communication and this kind of mission in Asia, because usually when we say that we have Orthodox missions, usually our mind went to Africa. But in Asia, we have a lot of opportunities and many Orthodox communities, and we have to be with these communities and to help them, because it's important for these communities to know that they are not alone, and to show that in the Orthodox Church, we are all united, we are all together, and we pray and we are seeking each other. And for us, it's so important this, and we have to thank you, all of you, and the OCMC for this help and support.
Now, I also know that OCMC helps to support the Metropolis clergy through a supportive mission program. They call it the SAMP program, S-A-M-P. So we would ask
that we try, because until now they support one part of the clergy. We need more supporters. So to cover all the local priests, because to be a priest, an Orthodox priest in Asia, is not a decision without a cost. Because if you decide to be an Orthodox in Asia, your family will be against you because you are something different. Your friends will not friends anymore. Usually the people from the neighborhood, they look you very strange. So maybe you have to move, you and your family. Or if you try to find a job, because you are a Christian and they have a different religion, it's difficult to have a part-time job or to do something else. So we have to cover all the needs for them and their families. So to be focused, yes, to help and to support and to teach the people in our communities.
All right. And let me just tell our listeners that by going to OCMC.org, you can support the mission program there, the SAMP program, for priests in Asia. Obviously, we need them. Your Eminence, one final question. Thank you so much for being on the phone with us from Singapore. We really appreciate it. As a young man from Greece, did you ever think that you would be serving faithful across the globe? I mean, this is an incredible assignment that you have.
To be honest, no. If someone had told me that will be my future, yes, I was laughing with him. Uh-huh. But from my family, because my brother and I, we are the fourth generation in our family that we are clergy. So always we learn from our grandfathers, from our relatives, that we have to sacrifice something from ourselves and to offer to the other people. Life is very short to live, yes, with a selfish way. So we have to help and support other people. So when this opportunity came, yes, to go as a reporter, because just to pay for my university and to have my pocket money when I was young, I work as a reporter in Greek magazines or a Greek radio station. I had the opportunity to go and to visit and to see these projects, the philanthropic projects in India and Indonesia, and I was really touched. So I continue visiting these people, and finally these people became my family. So if God decides to be their father, their spiritual father, this is a great responsibility and great blessing that I never ask about it. But for me, it's a great blessing that I can serve these people. And every time that I'm meeting these people and I'm looking their smiles, and I know how difficult are for them to be Christians in their societies with all the problems that they face daily, for me it's very important for my faith and a great example that how humble we have to be, all these people that we grow up in a Christian background countries.
Thank you, Your Eminence, for being with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Well, we have been taken to several parts of the world during today's broadcast, haven't we? All of them supported through OCMC. And again, that website is ocmc.org. You can find that on our website as well, or at least a link to it, at myocn.net. We, too, are a nonprofit outreach and depend upon your prayers and your financial support you can give to us. When you go to the website, just click on that donate button, and there are a number of opportunities to give a one-time gift or perhaps on a regular basis. That's myocn.net. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. We'll be back next week with another broadcast. I hope you can join us. And remember, in the meantime, always have faith in what you listen to.